bring him up.
Praise Liberty.
All right, we need Robbie.
God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Mighty hand and an outstretched arm, yeah. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn.
Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are strong. Father, we just turn to you now in Jesus' name, Father, and ask you to bless us this day, to meet the needs that are represented here, Father, to be in our midst, just to fellowship with us, Lord, to speak to us from your word, to do all the things, Father, that we don't even know that we need to have done in us this day. We just depend on you, Father. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're never surprised, you're never overwhelmed, you're always on time. Lord, we thank you that you are God, and we, Father, are happy to be your children. So bless us this day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Michael, can you hear me at all? Can you hear
yes.
me?
Okay. We just need a little more.
Okay.
Give him just a little bit more.
This is a new one.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here,
God, that you make a way, that you do miracles still in our midst, Lord, that you keep your promises, and that forever you're with us. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus.
Just believe, saith the Lord. All things are possible to them that believe. Trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your understanding will lead you astray. But trust in me and look into my word, for in my word you will find those things that you so desire, saith the Lord. Trust in me with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart, saith the Lord. Look not to the right or to the left, for they neither one have the way, for I am the way, saith the Lord. Know ye this, I am the way.
Father, we thank you that you are the one who is able to do exceedingly above all that we could think or even imagine. So we entrust ourselves humbly into your hands, knowing that without you, we really are incapable of directing our own way. We are dependent upon you, and we trust you. And we praise you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to mention a few things that are fresh on my mind and just bring it to our attention. First and foremost, in our prayer time this morning, I'm just going to call your attention to, once again, all the folks that are in our bulletin and all the situations. And, you know, we have a wonderful opportunity to regularly pray for these folks. It doesn't matter when we pray, how often we pray, but as often as we pray, we bring them before the throne of grace. And tonight, in the prayer time at 6 o'clock, they're going to spend time on these names. There's going to be a devoted time to praying for our church family and these specific needs. So you're encouraged to come and pray, and we're going to kind of alter our time of prayer from this morning to this evening's prayer time. So encourage you to look at these regularly and pray for these folks. And as you're looking at that, it reminds me that I want to share once again, and it was so beautifully expressed yesterday, the sympathy and support to John and Nikki and Madison and Johnny at the passing of John's mother, Janice. And there was a very fitting memorial here in her memory yesterday. So our prayers and our continued thoughts and prayers go to them. So focus on that, and tonight there'll be a special time of prayer for all of these needs, as well as the other things that the Lord may put on your heart. And of course, for prayer, always, our tradition is that at the end of the service, many people come to be prayed for, to be anointed, to have hands laid on them, and the answers to those prayers sometimes are surprising how the Lord does move and touch folks' lives. So that invitation for prayer will be extended again today. Now, a few announcements that I want to pass on to you, one of which is puppet practice for the Easter presentation. And that Easter presentation by the puppet team is going to be on the evening of April 5th, Palm Sunday. We're planning that program, and also to have a little fellowship afterward, another time to bring the church body together. If you can help, and Mona's still looking for help, I'm sure we'll appreciate that. 1:30. At 1:30 in the great room today for meeting together for that practice. Another thing, you know, there's kind of an informal, has been for a long time, group of men getting together for breakfast on Fridays at 9 o'clock. Well, some of the ladies said, hey, we'd like to get together. And it's not formal, but it kind of worked out. That first gathering was Friday, same place where the men meet, down at Granny's Restaurant on Broadway. And that's at 9 o'clock. And all the ladies who'd like to come and eat breakfast, it's not anything except a time to be together in fellowship, you're invited if you'd like to get out and have breakfast and not
at the same table with the men. It's not that we're exclusive, it's just that we heard the ladies didn't want to eat with us men. So that's how that came about, and you have your own time together. Elders and deacons meeting today at 5:30. Next Sunday is our communion Sunday, and also our gathering to minister at the Willows next Sunday at 3:30. We want to look at birthdays and announcements, and then anniversaries, and then if there's any other announcement, if you'll raise your hand here after the birthdays, Kent will find you, and you can make that announcement. This Wednesday, March the 11th, Josh Cromer's birthday. Saturday, March 14th, Vera Weddington's birthday. And I think that's it for one more. Oh, that's birthdays, but anniversary, Saturday, March 14th, Rock and Mona Moore. And always thinking about history and tradition, theirs was the first wedding in this building. What year? At 1986, 87. First wedding right here, and things looked a little different then than they do now, but that just reminds us of the passing of time.
Blacktop and grass now.
Yeah, Rock says we now have blacktop and grass. Then we had gravel and dirt, so we're moving along, at least keeping pace with the times. Happy anniversary to you all. Rod and I officiated that wedding together. That was many years ago. I had no idea that 30-some years later, Rod would be back with us serving as an elder. It's wonderful to look back, and then as time goes by, you sometimes wonder, God, you orchestrated all this, and you know, you knew so much more, know so much more than we could ever imagine. It's just exciting to be in the hands of the Lord. Anybody have an announcement this morning that we need to be reminded of? Because we have something very special for you today. Ann, thank you.
I need the bottles of blessing back March 24th, I think it is, 2 weeks from today. They want them back in Danville by the 25th. So 2 weeks from today, bottles of blessing need to be back.
All right, just a reminder, those bottles that go to the Haven Care Center. It's a great pro-life support. So Ann has graciously handled that for years. Pick up a bottle, fill it up quickly. If anyone would like a bottle right now, you know what happens when you get ready to leave church. You said, I was going to get one of those and I forgot. So Mike, thank you. Your hands are up. People would like to have them. There's one or two more up here.
In that same vein, for those that don't know, they have opened a new facility in Danville. Mm-hmm. They are in, have been for a few months. You need to stop by and see that.
Where's it located?
It's on going out Houstonville just before you get to the Y. There was a barbecue place in there for a while. The Brothers Barbecue was there. And they went out of business, and the Haven Care bought that. And it is a really, really nice facility.
Oh, thank you, Wanda.
In those bottles, you do not have to fill them up with change. You can just put a check in that bottle. You can put a $100 bill in that bottle. You just whatever that you feel led of the Lord to put in there. They're normally we would just fill them with change.
Right.
But if you just want to be a great blessing and you don't have a bottle of change, put something else in.
Thank you, George. And speaking of supporting and blessing, you know, from time to time we have opportunity here in our church family through our Medical Benevolent Fund to bless folks who've maybe gone through a crisis or kind of a tough time. And we have that opportunity today, and if you would like to just give, there's a basket back there. If you'd like to just bless our benevolent fund, because we'd like to meet some needs of people who can be blessed and need to be blessed. And if you'll do that, you can just make it to the church and put it in that basket. Or if you want to make a note on your memo of your check for benevolent, a portion of it, we will do that. You know, it's so amazing. I will never forget we did this once. We've done it before. That's part of our ministry. And the person at that time that we were wanting to bless, and we always keep these things anonymous, the person we were wanting to bless made a great contribution to that because that person didn't know they were the one receiving the blessing. And then when they got that blessing, they were just almost shocked. You know, when you give and your heart's right, and all of us in a place from time to time to need to be blessed, and it's wonderful to be able to bless other folks. So we want to give you an opportunity today just to be a blessing to someone and trust that you will be as we wisely as we can as elders make decisions about where those needs exist. And we really appreciate the trust and confidence. And anytime you want to talk to an elder about something, if it does not have to be confidential, we will not withhold sharing with you the needs and the things that you need to know. So I wanted to share that. Oh, Victoria.
Speaking of sharing, church family, for those of you that didn't know, I've not been in church for a few weeks. It would be 4 weeks today. My youngest son was diagnosed with the flu about 2.5 weeks ago. And the reason that I'm speaking of that now is because the Lord put it on my heart to share with you all that as we listen to him, even in the tumultuous times that our world is in and the new viruses that come out every year and the epidemics that take lives, as we put our faith in God, he will direct our steps. So I just want to give a praise report that David was the only one in our family of five that had the flu virus, that he had minimal symptoms, was not hospitalized, and has made a full recovery. So praise God.
Thank you. We thank the Lord for blessing you in that way. And certainly we keep lifted up all of our family and all the families that are potentially affected by the flu, the virus, the coronavirus, all the things that are out there. But I know people react differently, but I don't say this in any negative or condemning way, but we as people of God are not to live in fear. And you take your precautions, you do that which is wise, but our lives are in the hands of God.
Amen.
And our times are in his hands, the Bible says. And so we trust for healing. But folks, this life is not all there is. And while death grieves us, those who are in Christ have the promise of a life free from sickness, viruses, and all things. Do not live in fear. The Bible says fear has to do with torment. And he who fears has not been perfected in love. Rest assured that if you belong to Christ, you are loved. And even if a tragic thing happens in your life, it's not because of the lack of love of God. Our times are in his hands. Trust him. Well, this morning,
we got one more.
I just wanted to give an update on Adina,
because
so many people ask. She goes back to the doctor tomorrow. She hasn't really talked about her legs too much this week, but her blood pressure has been all over the place, and it's really getting low because they've got her on so much medicine. So just keep her in your prayers and pray that the doctor will do some tests and listen to her and make some adjustments.
And we pray for you, Gail. Being a mama with that much distance is not easy.
Okay, thank you.
So Father, you've heard all this, Lord, all the things that are on our hearts, the things that are printed, the things that are spoken, the things that go on in our mind. We commit them to you, Father. We just kind of offer a blanket prayer saying, we put these things in your hands, Lord. There's no better place to turn. Hear our prayer. Move according to your will and purpose, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we have a real special presentation before we dismiss, because we want the children and everybody to be apprised of this. We are planning the Seder meal, and it so happens that this year, that will fall exactly on Passover, Wednesday, April the 8th. Some of you have gotten to meet Mike and Elaine Filkins, who are new to our community and new to our church, and those of us who've had time to really get to know them have really grown to love and appreciate them quite a bit. Mike, as they both have a real deep history in the Messianic Christian connection, and I don't want to say more than I know, but they are very experienced in presenting the Passover meal. And in fact, we'll ask you all, you'll have opportunity to sign up to attend that meal. How many of you have ever attended? I'm sure some of you have attended a Seder before. So, oh my, it's a goodly number of folks. This, Mike, 8 or 10 anyway. So I know Mike is in full Jewish garb this morning. And I know folks thought, well, I know we have Pentecostals and Baptists and Catholics. Now we're open up to the Jews, you know. Well, we are, because we all spring from the Jewish tradition. I always remind folks, Jesus was a Jew. So without going any further, I'm going to ask Mike to come and share some of what will be happening on April the 8th. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Just a little bit more history on Elaine and I. We graduated from Prairie Bible Institute, now known as Prairie Bible College, in Alberta, Canada, back in 75, and that's when we were married shortly thereafter. Had our three children. I went back about a couple years after, maybe a year and a half after being married, and we were on staff. And that's where I got my carpentry training as a journeyman carpenter under the Commonwealth of Canada. Went overseas to the Philippines for 2 years with our children, and worked with street children. With a very young mission, we thought that would be a career opportunity. And God had other plans. He brought us back, and we eventually settled in Jasper, Georgia. And for 34 years, we resided in Georgia in one place or the other. And while there, God had a church plant that we were part of. It actually started on our back porch of our home. And that church, about 2-3 years into it, ordained me as a bivocational pastor with the Southern Baptist Association. And God moved us from that, brought us back. It was in between there we were studying Messianic teachings. And not to go into a lot of detail on that, but we believe Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, virgin born. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, died on the cross for our sins, fully man, fully God, ascended into the heavens 40 days after his crucifixion, of course rose again the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us, and he's coming again, and we look forward to that day. What is a bit different with the Messianic is that we do celebrate the feasts of the Lord. They are God's feasts. Leviticus 23 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies.'" And then he goes through those. And I love the menorah. And of course, this is just a small representation of the menorah that God instructed Moses, to make, and it set in the holy place to bring illumination there. But the seven candelabra represents the seven feasts. The first four, moving from the right to the center, represents the four feasts that have already taken place, the spring feast, the Passover. We know the Passover was the deliverance of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. It is the covenant of the cross. Remember how there were three marks were to be placed on the lintel and the doorposts. Those marks were in the shape of a tav. The tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. How many crosses were there on Calvary? Three. How many marks were to be on these doorposts? Three. On each side and at the top. And sometimes you'll see it made in an X rather than a cross, but either way, it still represents the Tav. God was showing the way of the cross, that if we are under the cross, when the death angel passed over, then he would miss that, and all who are in there would be saved from the angel of death. Then you have unleavened bread, which is cleansing from sin. Then you have first fruits, the resurrection, and then the center one is Pentecost, Shavuot. 10 days after Christ ascended, the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem because it was the fourth celebration, one of the three major ones that the Israelites were to gather together into the community. And so the first great ingathering were Jewish folks. Brother, and when we talk about the Jewish faith, because we have been grafted in, as Paul talks about in Romans, we are part of the Jewish faith. We may be Gentiles. I'm not Jewish by birth. I'm a Gentile by birth. But you know, I'm part of the family of God. Mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're our ancestors. And when we celebrate the feasts, and that's what the Messianic movement does. It adds, just like yesterday, all across the world, in Jewish synagogues, Messianic congregations, Purim was being celebrated yesterday. Purim was where Queen Esther, our mother, along with her uncle Mordecai, was used by God to save the Jews from being destroyed by wicked Haman. And so, but the main seven, and then the fall festivals that are yet to come, Yom Tov, the Feast of Trumpets, the Return of Christ, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, Tabernacles, all have a very beautiful representation. Tabernacles where Christ dwells with his people. God loves to tabernacle with his people. I don't wish to take too much more time, but just to let you know about the Seder a little bit.
Can I hold the menorah for you?
Yes, please. I appreciate that. The actual menorah that Moses was instructed to build was something about 6 feet tall, probably 3 to 4 feet across, and it was to be kept burning continually. And you'll see my garb here, the kippah. It's a representation that I stand under the authority of God, that I do not come in my own authority. And the tallit, the prayer shawl, you know, Paul told us, pray without ceasing. That is supposed to be the breath of God's people, to be continually in prayer for one another, for his return, for protection, that our minds are always stayed on him. And then the white robe is the robes of righteousness that the Revelation speaks about, that we will be clothed in one day. So I hope you can all come to the Seder. Please, white is appropriate. It doesn't mean you have to come in all white, because white is going to represent that as we look at the Seder and as we go through the Seder elements, that we are going to be seeing how God brings us out of the bondage of sin and he washes us. His desire is that we walk in righteousness. That's why unleavened bread follows immediately after Passover, and I don't have time to get into that right now. Maybe some other time I'll be able to share that. But the Seder will not be a full meal. It will probably be somewhere between an hour and 15 minutes and an hour and a half. But it is going to be a physical, a sensory experience, because you are going to understand the tears and the joy that our ancestors, the Israelites, experienced as they came out of bondage. So I like to close with the word shalom. I love that the pastor closes with the Aaronic benediction week by week. That is very special to us. And in a Messianic Seder service in a Jewish synagogue, they always close with the Aaronic benediction. Now, my Hebrew is not good enough for me to say it in Hebrew, so don't worry. And if you know Hebrew, you would be embarrassed to hear me say it. Why do I like the word shalom? Because it means more than just the absence of conflict. It means the peace, the abiding presence of God rests upon your heart, your soul, your mind, your emotions, your spirit, all aspects of your life. Your very physical being experiences a transformation because of God's peace resting upon you. Christ said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Peace that passes all understanding." So please sign up early so we can get a good idea of the count and number of people that we're going to have in order to get all the things together. We love you. We love getting to know you. And we praise God for Harrisburg Community Church and for bringing us here. We've only been here in Harrisburg about 3.5 months and about 2 months here at the church, but we've fallen in love with it. Shalom.
Well, I was going to tell you right now, one of these Sundays, I'm going to have to sit down and hear him teach a little more. I'm blessed. I think it's time to dismiss the children to Children's Church. But by the way, I will add something that Mike told me. You as parents decide on the age appropriateness of your children to come to Seder, because he said they've seen children really blessed by observing that. So you might want to talk with him and Elaine about that. Let me push this thing.
Yeah, there will not be child care provided, but what we have at the table, we will have activities for children that as we go through the Seder meal, they have coloring things and things that are appropriate to the Seder for them. But our experience has been that, you know, while things are preparing, the children are starting it, but once it starts, they are captivated by what's taking place. Mm-hmm. So you decide as parents.
Thank you, Mike.
Your grace is enough for me.
grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Yeah, your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your head in glory and creation,
It is the name of Jesus.